Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where we talk about how real estate is not like anything you will ever see on HGTV. So today I'm excited to have a guest with me who is not a 50-year grizzled veteran of real estate, but actually has some beginning expertise in two different areas, appraisal and brokerage. So Brady Sanford, welcome to the show. Tell everybody hello and where you're located and all that fun stuff.
Hello. I'm actually an apprentice appraiser and realtor located in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and I work basically in all of York County.
So if you are not from the Charlotte, North Carolina area, Rock Hill is one of those areas that's considered part of the Charlotte market. They just happen to be just over the line in South Carolina, where it's a slightly more welcoming business tax environment and has some really cool tax advantages to South Carolina. So it's a great location for people relocating in. And Brady, how does it feel to be one of the younger members of the industry on both ends?
I would say it's a little intimidating. I'm in an office with four other appraisers, and they've all been in the industry for 5 to 10 years at minimum. My supervisor's actually been doing this since before you needed a license to be an appraiser, 35 years ago. And it's a little interesting, to say the least. I've seen a couple wacky things, like an indoor in-ground pool in a house, or one house that actually sat vacant for 7 years before somebody bought it and occupied it. A lot of crazy things already sometimes.
So how does that play into what you expected when you got into the business? I mean, what was your expectation of appraisal world before you jumped in?
Well, the expectation was just that it would be rather cut and dry, that it wouldn't be too difficult to find things that were similar properties. I thought that it wouldn't take as long to do an appraisal, certainly. It takes, actually, on average, somewhere around 8 hours to do an appraisal start to finish. And I was expecting less than half that. And coming from college, where all of the assignments really don't take that long, it's a little more than what was expected.
So when you mention things like an indoor in-ground pool,
yeah,
how in the world do you assess a value for something like that? Because obviously that's got to cost a ton of money to put that into a property. And where do you go for that expertise when it's something that's not normal in this market?
Well, that's one of the advantages of how licensing is set up is with brokerage, for example, you're required to work under a broker who's been in the business for 3 to 5 years at minimum. And you're supposed to work under that broker for a minimum of 3 years. That's North Carolina and South Carolina. Under appraisal, I have to work under a supervisor who has also been in the business for 5 years or more and been certified for 3 years. And I have to work under that same person with their guidance and their expertise and their name on the line for every report I work on for a minimum of 2 years. So I really have a good way because it's literally an apprenticeship in this instance. And this one was a little funky. It's a house that's very rural compared to what most people in the Charlotte Rock Hill area would even consider. And it even actually only had 2 bedrooms, but it was a nice 3,400 square foot house and had a whole enclosed.
Wait. Did you say 3,400 square feet, 2 bedrooms?
It was something ridiculous like that, where it was over 3,000 square feet to my recollection and only had 2 bedrooms. And it was something that they built for themselves on their own land, the owners did, and the current owners. It's actually listed for sale around now. And it has an indoor in-ground pool in, it's probably about 1,000 square feet of enclosed sunroom-like area that's on a concrete slab and has an in-ground pool inside it.
So when you went out to this house to do the appraisal, when you're in the apprenticeship period, does your supervising appraiser go with you, or do you just have them look over your shoulder while you do paperwork? How does the process work?
It's actually both. My boss is required to go with me for the first something like 100 appraisals. which at this point I am working on around my 70th from what my records show. And so he has been going with me for the last, all of these appraisals, looked at every single house with me, pointed out things that are required or are, I should be noted, things like that, and always get his input on everything.
So one thing I'm curious about in the appraisal world, because I love how it's set up with an apprenticeship period. In fact, I think real estate brokerage should absolutely require the same thing. That's a different soapbox for a different day. But was it hard for you to find somebody to hire you as an apprentice, knowing that you're younger and probably going to take some business away from them at some point?
Certainly. Actually, I would say that it's less so that I might take business away from somebody because where I have been in the business for 6 months, 7 months at this point, somebody who's been in the business for 35 years, they're not exactly going to lose business to me because they're going to have people that have known them for 10, 20, 30 years, and they're always going to get the phone call from those individuals, regardless of if they know me or not. But I would say that it's really a fantastic licensing process and very interesting.
So tell me why you decided to do realtorhood and appraisal world simultaneously. Does one of them appeal to you more? Was it more of an educational piece, or how'd that happen?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Appraisal appeals to me more because I'm just very analytical. I've been strong in numbers and actually been involved in real estate and real estate decisions for the last 2 or 3 years on my own. But I would say that I liked how analytical it was. We had that day in licensing class where people were having difficulty actually calculating the square footage of a house. And I got it right off the bat within half a square foot. And I just realized that appraisal is something that I really enjoyed. I enjoy brokerage as well. I actually got a recommendation from an appraiser to go into brokerage because it's more profitable. It's an interesting world to be in both.
Yeah, they're definitely two different personality sets that match each of them, but you should have a unique advantage in your marketplace by knowing the appraisal side. It should make it definitely more advantageous to a seller to hire you because you could more accurately price their house than the agent who honestly thinks you price something by doing dollars per square foot.
That was pretty close to exactly my thought going in. Is I actually don't want to be an appraiser for the rest of my life, but I do want to have the certification, and I want to be able to tell somebody I can actually represent you better because I know exactly how somebody's going to value your house, and I know how I would do it because I've done it 100 times or more by that point.
So have you had any interactions with realtors as you've been in your appraisal apprentice process? Do you have any insight for the consumers who listen to this podcast about how they do or don't do the appraisal process well?
I mean, there are times where I have asked for comps or something where, for example, there was this one time a couple months ago where I was having difficulty supporting the value. It was in a neighborhood in Rock Hill where the price was obviously skyrocketing somewhere in the neighborhood of 1% to 2% per month.
Woo!
Yeah, it was going up and there was enough transactions in the house that I in the neighborhood that I could actually tell that and come up with a definite figure along that line. But I was, as a result, it gets more and more difficult to demonstrate a value that the neighborhood is obviously going up. And so I actually asked from the listing agent for some comps that she thought might demonstrate the value. And she really just did a quick search and just sent me stuff in the neighborhood, which really didn't help. Actually, one of which was a foreclosure that sold probably 50% less than her house. So one thing that consumers and realtors don't always realize is they can actually provide comps to the appraiser if they believe that it will help support the value that they want. It's always up to the appraiser to then go and verify whether or not it's still a good comp or not. But as long as there's no apparent bias involved, it actually helps me.
So you mentioned that when you asked for supporting documentation, you basically got some stuff emailed out of the multiple list. If you call an agent and ask them for supporting documentation, as an appraiser's hat on your head, what do you want them to send to you?
I want them to send something that will be fairly similar to the house, as close as possible. Hopefully stuff that's in the same neighborhood or not. Similar square footage, give or take 5-10% at max. Similar price range, that's always a good idea. And similar amenities. So if something has a three-car detached garage on top of its attached garage, something that is going to be similar to that as opposed to just a yard that's empty.
How about secrets? Do you like knowing the neighborhood secrets, like this house two streets over sold a month ago, but it had 17 cats in it and they didn't put that in the MLS? Is that helpful to you?
Well, I've never actually had an issue with cats or dogs before. I will say that.
Oh, baby, yeah. Your time's coming, because cats do not mix with carpet or Berber especially.
Oh, yeah. My mom is severely allergic to cats, and we'll be able to tell if the previous owner to the house has cats because she'll be sneezing within 5 minutes.
And one of the things that I always preach to agents and kind of drives me crazy is that after they've been in the business for over 6 months, a lot of them stop previewing what's in the marketplace. But when an appraiser asks for supporting documentation, a lot of times if there was something going on in a comp that you can't see in the photos and can't see in MLS, the agent who previewed it while it was on the market and actually went in and physically saw it can be a huge benefit to the consumer and to the whole process, because they know more than the paper will tell.
Oh,
so
sure.
I will always preach that, and especially for you as you get your business up and running quickly, if you keep that appraiser's hat on and go look at these houses, you're going to always be providing a higher level of value to the consumer, because they depend on us to know our marketplace and know how to defend the price we put on our houses.
Absolutely.
So, Brady, if somebody is looking for a young, energetic realtor who is, or appraiser, honestly, who is getting up and running and is going to have a great career in the Rock Hill area, how could they reach you?
They can reach me, actually, on my cell. I give it out to everyone, and I'll answer the phone anytime that I'm available at 803-318-5473, or they can reach me on email just at bradysanford@hotmail.com. It's bradysanford@hotmail.com.
And I will include Brady's contact information in the show notes for this episode if you happen to be driving down the road or sweating to the oldies while you're listening to this. Brady, thank you for coming on the show, and welcome to both industries. I'm always excited to see wonderful new faces in our business that are going to do things really, really well. And anybody who's analytical has a good shot at being a step above the people who rely on guesswork.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Lee. It's been a fantastic time.
And if you're a realtor, broker, investor, lender, or a consumer who's got your own story about crazy life in real estate that did not look like what you expected it to look like, give me a shout and I'll be glad to feature you on the show. You can tweet me at Lee Brown, and I will even tweet you back. And I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast for more episodes. And always call your professional realtor, because you don't want to go this alone. For joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.